Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, at this time, it's my privilege to invite Pastor Jerry Neumeyer to the Cedar pulpit to continue his sermon series on why people leave church. And today is when we've never heard church is no fun. I don't know what we'll be talking about here. So God bless you, brother. Lord be with you.
My wife and I saw that sign outside coming up here. We're thinking, is anyone going to show up? Or are they assuming some things here tonight too? I'm guilty of that. I grew up very devout Roman Catholic. Went to church Monday through Friday before school, and then attended Sunday service with one of my parents and my sister. I was trained as an altar boy, and even as a grade schooler, I attended a weekend retreat to consider the priesthood of all things. But then everything changed in junior high. Sister told me, you know, if you went to junior high instead of parochial school, they have shop classes, they have gym, which our parochial school didn't have, St. Dominic's. You could have a lot of fun if you end up going to the public junior high. Didn't expect all the fun I get into. A lot of immorality, drinking. By eighth grade, I started smoking pot. A lot of things. Big thing that changed in my life was that church was no longer fun. The routines of the Roman Catholic service, the liturgies, over and over again, repetition, I stopped going to church. I can still remember standing in front of my parents' house watching a church bus. I think it was from a Baptist church. Driving by, taking kids to some event, maybe it was a summer camp, and I said to my best friend, Paul, I said, Paul, we're going to have so much more fun than they are today. And I meant it. I thought whatever we were doing, and probably some things were up to no good, that's how I felt. Every year, children who are raised in the church leave. Statistics, listen to some of these. Only 2 in 10 Americans under 30 believe that attending a church is important or worthwhile. 2 out of 10. 20%. That's at an all-time low. 59% of millennials that have been raised in the church have dropped out. 2/3 of covenant kids have said, church is worthless. I'm done. Of the 43% of millennials who believe in the God of the Bible, only 17% of those attend a church regularly. The numbers are staggering. They're declining. So what can we say to those who have left the church because the church isn't fun anymore? Why don't you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 73. This is a song of Asaph. Asaph is one of the 3 Levites commissioned by King David to be in charge of temple singing. Now, today we're not going to talk about singing and the choices of what's fun and what's not fun. We're not getting into worship wars this evening, so hang in there. But let's hear what God's word has to say about fun and about our responsibility of finding God our all in all. Psalm of Asaph. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them, and they drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you placed them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They're like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you, yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me up into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My heart, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. If you know of someone who's left the church because it wasn't fun, they're not the only ones who feel that way about the church. I imagine we all have stories to tell at times that the church isn't fun. Did you know that about 35% of millennials are actually anti-church? And what I mean by that is that a third of millennials believe that the church does more harm than good. Number one, if you're following along in an outline here, in some cases, God would agree. It may shock you. God's not always happy with his people or with their worship. In 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul says, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. That's exactly what millennials say. Church hurts people. And the church in Corinth, Greece, did. And he even goes on to explain why. He says, in the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. Folks, divisions suck the fun out of being a church. Even when unbelievers come through the doors and they look at what we're doing, visitors, guests, they're grieved by displays of division and schisms. And our regular members who are discouraged start looking for a happier home. They're saying, what's happened to the church? But above all, God is not happy. He's not happy with what we've done to his family. It has grieved him. It's not fun for God. Division does not make church fun for you or for God. Pastor, that's why I don't go to church. Watching a bunch of hypocrites pretend they love God is not fun. It's a waste of my time. It's pathetic. All right, guess what? God agrees with you. Listen to Isaiah 29:13. The Lord says, in vain these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Hypocrisy robs the church of enjoying worship. Hypocrisy also robs God of being worshiped rightly. It's not a pleasure to him. When worship becomes boring, predictable, the same old, it doesn't bring joy to God or to yourself. A church can create human rules of this is how you worship God, but that doesn't stop people from just going through the motions and having their hearts far from him. I can tell you, as a Roman Catholic, when God was drawing me to himself when I was about 20 years old, I didn't know how to pray, but I went back to thoughts of Catholicism, what I was taught. You pray the rosary. You say an Our Father, you follow it by 10 prayers to Mary, and you do another Our Father, and you repeat, repeat, repeat. And when God, the Spirit, when was working in my heart, I realized how foolish that is. Is this how a God who has greater intellect than I have, is this how he wants to be addressed with memorized prayer? And then I read in Sermon on the Mount, don't be like the pagans who babble, thinking with many words they're going to be heard. I was taught something that wasn't pleasing to God. Endless repetitions, hoping that would please God. My heart before, when I had done those things, still was far, far away from my Creator. of hypocritical worship does not please God. It's not fun for God. He has no delight in it. It may only be fun for the self-righteous, but it's not fun for God. When young people say that the church isn't fun, I want you to think for a second, what do you think they're really saying? Most often they're saying the world is more fun. You know, the Bible doesn't deny that the world offers many, many pleasures. And a majority of them are truly good gifts from God. In Psalm 73, Asaph speaks of prosperity and health and even some ridiculous amounts of wealth, apparently none of which Asaph had. And without sounding tonight like we're into the health, wealth, and prosperity crowd, the Bible is not opposed to you enjoying the world's pleasures if they're obtained lawfully. What do I mean? Well, if you work hard at a job, you can afford a house, you can afford a cottage or a boat or a gym or membership, you know, gym membership, premium health care, enjoy it. Give thanks to God. If you pursue the American dream through violence and oppression, the God who made you is not pleased. That's what Asaph says. The wicked, they did violent things. They oppressed the poor, the needy. You know, some false teachers in the early church sought to forbid the pleasures of marriage. So Paul had to assure them that God wanted them to enjoy his great gift with thanksgiving. Christians are not anti-fun. We're not anti-pleasure. God says there's a time and a place for everything. You've seen the bumper sticker, I'd rather be fishing, right? I'm sure some people rather be fishing sometimes than coming to church. But here's the point. If you put pleasure above or before serving God, you're an idolater. You're worshiping something else. God no longer is the King of Kings. He's not your pleasure. He's not the one you're trying to please. And where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. How many marriages are ruined because a husband puts his hobbies ahead of his wife and ahead of his marriage? Hunting's fine, but if you did hunting and fishing and sports and other, or even video games every week, and you neglect your marriage, why do you think it wouldn't ruin? Why do you think it wouldn't fall apart? Or college students, right? If you put fun and games and friends ahead of studying, you might lose that scholarship. You might never graduate. You could ruin it because of the fun stuff. There's a time and a place for everything. Back in Psalm 73, Asaph admitted that he almost gave up his commitment to God. He almost gave it up for a carefree, wealthy life. But then he said, God showed me exactly what would happen to the wicked. Those who choose world's pleasure over serving God, here's what happens. In verse 18, he says, they would be cast down to ruin. They'd be suddenly destroyed. God would sweep them away with terrors. In verse 27, he concludes, those who are far from you will perish. You will destroy those who are unfaithful to you. I'm glad for that reading we had earlier in that New Testament letter. James calls loving the world's fun more than God adultery. You're cheating on God. Verse 4, for you adulterous people, don't you know the friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. A dear friend of mine, he was a deacon in our church out in Oceanside, California. He worked for NASA and he loved to run long distances. He was so upset years ago when race organizers in San Diego kept putting these events on Sunday mornings. He says, it deprives me of worshiping God, and God's got to be first. But not every Southern Californian lived that way. Many churches along the Oceanside communities, hey, if surf was up on a Sunday morning, guess what? Attendance mysteriously dropped. Where was the love of God? Where's your fun, you know? Apostle John says the same thing in 1 John 2:15. He says, don't love the world or anything. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of the Lord lives forever. You get the picture? Enjoy the world, but don't make it your mistress. Or else you, along with this world's pleasures, will perish. The man or woman who does the will of God will live forever. Point number three, some avoid the church because guilt or work aren't fun. And I agree, boy, guilt or work aren't terrible. Take a look back at Psalm 73, verses 11 and 12. Asaph describes the wicked this way. He says, they say, how would God know? How would God know that I'm violent and I'm oppressive? Does the Most High know anything? We've been getting away with this for a long time. He says, that's how the wicked are, always free of care, but they go on amassing wealth. They get so much wealth that other people take notice. They want to follow on the gravy train. How did they get to be so wealthy? I want to be like that. You know, if the wicked would go to church, God's people might discover what they're doing that's wrong. You can't go to church and remain an anonymous sinner for long. Evil deeds get exposed, right? Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because it would expose their evil deeds. Everyone who does evil hates light will not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. I heard an account of Kathy Lee Gifford. She's one of the ladies on the Today Show. Apparently she had a feud, let me put it this way, Howard Stern had a feud with her. He's a very crude, immoral man. He has his own radio program. Apparently, after 30 years of him mocking and disliking Kathy Lee Gifford, apparently he was on the set for an interview, not with her, but somebody else at NBC, and she went down to wish him a good interview. And the story went on to say that apparently he was convicted and ended up calling her and asking to talk, and they talked, and he said, I've been so mad at you for years. It's because you're so good. You're everything that I'm not. The church is not going to be fun for Howard Sterns who love evil, right? It's not going to be fun for the drunk who doesn't want to repent. It's not going to be fun for the wife who's hiding an affair that she's not willing to give up. So when the world blames the church for not being fun, it's basically sometimes, so I can go on sinning in darkness. You people who are good, shine the light on my sins. But the Bible says, but God still sees them even if they don't go to church. Even if they avoid you who are light. Now look closer, verse 12. The wicked are always free of care as they go on amassing wealth. Hard work is not in their vocabulary. They're always looking for easy money through violence, through oppression. But being a Christian, folks, you know it, it's hard work. It requires sacrifice, putting others first. Think about anything in life that is worth doing that doesn't require work. A stay-at-home mom, raising little kids, changing diapers, cleaning spit up. That's hard work. The church is not for snowflakes who want to be happy by coming and just being served. It's got to be about me. As one person says, the Trinity, worshiping I, myself, and me, right? The church is for those who count it a privilege and a joy to work hard serving the King. You know, it's been fun working on the float together, the Memorial Day float. A week from tomorrow, it'll be fun walking down Baldwin inviting people to church. It'll be a joy. What a privilege. In the book of Acts, according to the apostles, it was a joy and a privilege to suffer for Jesus. To suffer, that's not in the world's vocabulary. Wait a minute, we were talking about fun, and now you're saying fun might include suffering? And Paul said, yeah. It's been appointed to you not only to believe in Jesus, but to be willing to suffer for him. A privilege to suffer for the name of Christ. That's not the world's standards. Fun equals pleasure. It doesn't equal work. It doesn't equal suffering. But think for a moment, was it fun for the Son of God to leave a glorious place in heaven with his Father to come to earth? Was it fun for him to be mocked and rejected by his people? Was it fun for the Son of God to hang on a cross and be brutally murdered for you? What is fun? For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross to save a people for you, to bring glory to his Father. That was fun for Jesus. That was a joy for Jesus, to endure the cross to save you. Come to the last point, number four. The church offers real joy. The world hasn't picked up on this yet. Let me qualify it. The church offers real joy to those who are pure in heart. Twice Asaph says it. To those who are pure in heart, to those who are regenerate, to those who are alive in Christ, the church offers real, true, lasting joy, inexpressible joy. Now, for those with a bad heart, Asaph also understood this. Serving God is bitter. Asaph said in verse 21, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I want what those evil people have got. I want the wealth, the health, I want all that prosperity, and I don't get it. So he says, I became senseless and ignorant before God. I didn't understand why, and I was ticked. I was a brute beast before you. I don't know what animal you think of a brute beast, but I think like a donkey, stubborn and foolish. Maybe at some point millennials and even all of us in our generation have said this, Mom, Dad, I don't want to go to church and you can't make me. Doesn't that sound just like a donkey, right? Just like Asaph said, I'm a brute beast, I'm stupid and stubborn. I don't even realize this is so good for me to be part of God's people. You know, when I became a Christian, I had two people both tell me this, and it's just irony right now because I had said the church wasn't fun. And when I became a Christian, I had people tell me, Jerry, you're no longer any fun. It's kind of like, how did this come first full circle around, right? We reap what we sow, but it was true. My ex-brother-in-law, John, had said, you're no fun because you don't laugh at my dirty jokes. Can't. I belong to Jesus now. Those jokes aren't funny. My musician buddy in college, Eric, when I became a Christian, he was upset because I wouldn't go to the bars with him. He wanted to have a wingman so he could try to pick up girls, and I wasn't successful at that, so. My friend Eric, who mocked my faith and thought I was no longer any fun, was growing to have an interest in Christ. And I remember him asking me one day, he says, well, hypothetically, if I become a Christian, couldn't I still get a 6-pack, a 12-pack on the weekend? And I said, well, you know, getting drunk would not please God. He says, no, just to get a buzz. And I just said, Eric, I can tell you this. And I was just a baby Christian. I said, the joy that I have because of Jesus now doesn't compare to any pleasures the world gives. And I wouldn't want to be addicted to those old temporary pleasures, those sinful pleasures of the past, because I never want to forget what I have in Jesus. He's offered me real joy. In Hebrews 11, we read, by faith, Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, all the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking forward to his reward. I'm going to see my Maker. He's going to reward me for the treasures I've been laying up in heaven. Why would I want to give that up? For you, some of the people that have left the church because they said it hasn't been fun, but the reason is God's not their first love. And if God's not their first love, something else is an idol, and he's jealous for us. But they can be forgiven. Asaph says, if you take refuge in the sovereign Lord like he did, you'll be spared punishment of the day Jesus returns to judge the worldly, to judge the idolaters. If you make Jesus your refuge, you'll be saved. How do you do it? Call on Jesus. Confess your sins to him. Believe that his death was a ransom and a cleansing from all the pleasures that you have sought over against him. Brothers and sisters, your friends, your family members who have left the church because it's no longer fun, they need a Savior for the church to become a joy to them again. How do you do that? Last line, Asaph says, I will tell of your deeds. They need an evangelist. They need you to tell them that Jesus saves. He'll save them from why they think it isn't a joy to serve Christ. He will save them. He can keep them from hell. Tell them about his coming. Tell them that he is a judge for the wicked, for the ungodly, for those that love the world. You know, the church has sung for a long time that hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way for what? To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. That needs to be our hope, folks. Brothers and sisters, that needs to be our confidence. God is worth it. He is our portion. There's nothing we desire in heaven or on earth than him. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we need help. Some of us here tonight have family members that have left the church because they've fallen in love with the world. Rescue them, deliver them, use us, use others to open their eyes by your Spirit. Convict them how shallow these joys of this world are. They cannot compare with your great love and your majesty and what you are to us as an inheritance, a portion. Father, hear our prayers. Keep us from falling into that. Help parents to guard their children to fall into this trap of thinking the world offers something much better than the Creator himself. Help us to use every good and perfect gift. Help us to use things like hiking and seeing the beauty of creation. Help us to enjoy things like fishing and hunting and other things, but not to our detriment, but to your glory. Father, hear our prayers. Restore us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.